up top, we're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top, we're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. Just before we start doing the broadcast, this is the first paid advertisement of the year. Male 30 seeking 21-year-old female Latino, sorry, male 30 seeking Oasis ticket for Saturday or Sunday night. Please get into my DMs if you have one. There's a diehard fan that I know very well that is looking for one, and it's actually me. So if anyone has anyways, tickets, don't be afraid to get in the show. Paul, you know, pull a few strings in the music world for me.
I've already been asked, Jordan. Even my own sons are looking for them, but I can't. They're like gold dust. You just can't get near them at all.
Yeah, and I am delighted this week to be joined by Paul Page, formerly of Whipping Boys. Paul, how are you getting on?
Hey, Jordan. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, and suppose we'll kickstart into the match. Two matches gone by, Drogheda and Shelbourne at home. I think we went in that Drogheda game. We had a thought we had a wonder. We probably thought it would have been 1 foot in Europe at least, passports to get renewed. But I don't think in all your time supporting Bowls, particularly all my time supporting Bowls, they've never done it the easy way, have they?
Haven't not at all, no. It was just a classic smash and grab raid, wasn't it? I mean, kind of know with Drogheda how they're going to set up. They've done it twice already this season. They came to Daly Mounts and up there as well. They've beaten us. And they just sat back very solid, very compact. And their two lads up front in the fourth half kept their defence honest, even though they were soaking up a lot of pressure. Then in the second half, they bring on the two quicker players, Davis and the goal scorer, and just caught us on the break. One pass split the defence open and it's in the back of the net. It's just a real punch in the gut, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think that's the fourth one in a row draw they've had over us since the end of last season. So they have a bit of a jinx on us at the moment. It's one of those where we've taken 9.09 off Rovers and we've subsequently basically handed them straight back to Drogheda.
That's it. Cancelled that out completely, didn't it?
Yeah, it has, and that sort of left us in a bit of a situation where, you know, Rovers have probably slipped up a couple of times the last week. Again, they probably did have the affordability to do that, given that just no one else can seem to catch up on them.
Yeah, I thought some Bow supporters giving out about the time wasting and, you know, the way Drogheda play, but they're not coming to Daly Mount, you know, to entertain the Bows fans. They're coming to get a result, and they've been very good at doing that recently, and they just not have our number. And, you know, Doherty seems to set them up really well and just knows how to get the most out, and particularly when they play against us.
Yeah, I think they always set up well. I think, you know, again, you can't complain about how Drogheda play, and you can't, you know, he's to make best with what he has. You know, he's got a team there that if they go out and play, if they go head-to-head with Bowls or Rovers, they'd be probably spanked off the park. Similar enough to, you know, Drogheda or Galway last season, they just have to sort of grind out what they can, and they're doing a great job. Unfortunately, that's probably, people might say it's anti-football, and I think someone said there's about in between 5 or 10 minutes, the ball is less on the pitch for a draw of the game than it is with the rest of the season. But again, that's, you know, the referees, it's up to the referees to do that, but the referees probably don't want to be there much longer than anyone else does watching Drogheda United play.
Yeah, look, it's effective, and it seems to be very effective when they play against Bows. I mean, you know, they just have our number every time. So I think that result has probably really dragged us back into the pack now in terms of Europe and the hunt for that place for Europe, because you could see the rest of the teams are behind us, are kind of closing in on us now. So it was a real, real poor result. What can you say about it? It's one of those games where you leave Daly Mount and your weekend is ruined.
Yeah,
I used to be worse at that. Like, a Friday night result would really affect me, but I've kind of got a bit. I probably take seeing it happen so much now, I'm used to it. You know.
Yeah, I think even last year, I think I've probably been the same this season. At the start, I was quite annoyed, but I think got the air away in Australia, and I just think maybe that. You know, don't get me wrong, I used to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning watching the matches over there, and then if you lost, you'd be so angry that you couldn't either go back to sleep.
I know that feeling,
hour in the morning,
yeah.
And then if you win, you'd be that giddy that you still couldn't go back to sleep. So it used
Yeah.
to be it was a very long Saturdays when I was living over there. But as you said, we've just been dragged back into the pack. All the results went against us. Another one again this weekend. We saw the 2-0 all draws on Friday night, which we sort of started our eyebrows sort of went up a little bit. We were kind of going, if we win tomorrow, this gives us that extra bit of gap that we were expecting to get last week. Alas, it didn't happen. 2-1, 2-2, sorry, in Talca Park come the end of it. I'm not sure what you made of the performance. I think Shells probably did well. First half, I thought they were the better team, and even second half before we scored, I thought they were probably a bit more dominant. I don't think it
Yeah.
was our best performance, but they put a lot of money into that squad since the summer too.
Yeah. When you lose like in the 90th minute, it's a real hard one to take. And particularly after the results the night before, as you say, it kind of left the door open for us to put that little bit of distance between us and that closing pack. So when you're 2-1 up, but I just thought once we sat back as deep as we did coming into the last while, like, as soon as we scored the goal, I think they changed the formation, went five at the back and just sat in. And we were just inviting pressure on. There was no out ball, hoofing the ball back to them every time. You could just see it coming. And it was a good goal, in fairness. Like, I know defenders often get criticized for those, but it was a pinpoint cross, good header. But we invited it on. So, I don't know how many times I've seen that happen. You think sometimes that if the team have kind of courage to just and the courage to play with a bit of commitment and not to be afraid to try and hold on to the ball and use it well. And we have players that can do that. Like, with Dawson Devoy there, you've no better man for controlling midfield. I thought he was superb against Shelbourne, like gave Mark Coyle, I thought, in the first half a bit of a run around. He's been just exceptional this season. I think one of the main things we should be looking to do is try and get him nail down, extend his contract because he's the best midfielder in the country. But yeah, it was very disappointing. Go 2-1 up away from home against the league champions and just not to be able to see it out. It's just disappointing. So once again, it was a typical frustrating Bowes performance where we had an opportunity to, I suppose, get that bit of daylight between us and the chasing pack, and we just didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, definitely 2 points left behind when you've gone 2-1 up. 5 minutes left, I think it was. It's 2 weeks in a row now we've sort of conceded towards the tail end of a game. I know one of the questions was, has sort of roles reversed? Now we're gaining all our points in the last few minutes. Now we're starting to give them away. Look, I wouldn't read too deep into that at the minute. Obviously, it can become a thing, but
Yeah.
I think we got our just rewards from all those games. I think the draw of the game, you're just unlucky. It's just one of those things. And even the Shells one, it's just you sat too back too much. It reminded me a bit of the Shells game in the first series of games when when they went out and beat us. We just sat back for the whole second half, and eventually are punished. They're going to be punished. Shells have
Yeah.
plenty
Yeah,
of good players.
some teams are good at doing that. Like Drogheda were very good at doing that against us. But I just think when Bowes do it, you just see it, the warning signs go up. We just look like we're going to concede, and we did. It was an awful shame. We were lucky to have 11 men on the pitch. I thought Dawson, that was a second yellow in the second half, where he trips his offset number running through, and I thought that should have been potentially a
Yeah,
yellow.
definitely. I think there was one as I think Q had one in the first half when he was already booked too. I
Yeah,
think he
yeah.
tackled and it was the exact same thing, but you're probably more likely to get away with it in the first half than you are the second half. We thought Dawson was gonna walk. Like I
It
think
was a
there was
feisty game. I mean, I thought Shells came; they were well up for it, and they were leaving in some tackles. In that first half in particular, I don't know how many yellow cards they got in the first 10, 15 minutes. Must have been three or four.
Yeah, it was. It
But
was blood and thunder. I think we've sort of just played into Shell's hand as well. We didn't want to play a bit more football, I think, than them in terms of our style of play. I think
yeah.
we got dragged into it a bit too much, and it's up to the managers to sort of put it together. And unfortunately, that didn't wasn't the case. But not the end of the world going to Talca, the champions essentially. And again, they've recruited well. You could see the team on Wednesday was different to the team on Saturday, and it's still not a bad League of Ireland team, in
Yeah,
terms of what they have.
they've definitely strengthened that squad. That was one of the criticisms of them under Duff, wasn't it? That they, their first 11 was decent, but they just didn't have that depth in their squad. I think they've addressed that now. And as you say, they made loads of changes for the game against us, but it didn't seem to affect the shape of the team, or the lads that came in were able to step in and do a job.
Yeah, and hopefully that'd be us being able to strengthen the squad with the extra few euros that we hopefully get from the European games next
Hopefully.
season. But Douglas Taylor came on. Good to see him back. What have you made of him so far, and in general in the Ziga Borna career?
Yeah, I thought he was very good with Drogheda, and I was really delighted when we signed him. I think we were crying out for a good striker with a kind of a proven goal scoring record, someone who was going to get you a few goals a season, because we hadn't got that. And it was kind of hurting us. I think obviously that goal he scored, and was it a second game for us, was a cracker, and showed kind of demonstrate what he's about. Seemed to be injured then, and when he came on, he hit that one-on-one he had the other day. He looked like he wasn't running a full tilt. I don't know if he's still carrying a knock or something, but the defenders ate up the ground on him as he was bearing in. I would have still backed him to pull it away, though. I was
Yeah,
thinking.
I think Renato did say after the match that he basically hadn't really trained all week. It was probably light sessions of anything, but it was probably good to get him back in the bit of pitch and get a few minutes into him. One of the
Yeah, it
position.
was very similar to the Archie Meeksen chance we had, where Meeksen actually took it earlier in the season, where he ran from the halfway line. But
Against Cork. Yeah, that's where. Yeah, it was similar enough. You hope now a bit of fitness and he starts putting those away, because again, that's been probably the cause of why we're in this chasing package. Just the finishing has been great. Tierney had a
exactly.
great chance in a couple of games, and he's not just finding his goal scoring form just yet, and kind of looking for him a few more goals from midfield too. I know Dawson scored on Friday, but he probably could deal with chipping in one or two more throughout the whole
Yeah.
season. It's just a small percentage just that we're probably being catching ourselves here, the difference in maybe challenging the Rovers and pointing for Europe essentially.
Yeah, and at the start of the season, for the first 10 games, when we were on that really dismal run, we weren't even creating chances. Like it was really dismal stuff. But then when things turned around, I think whatever happened at half time on Easter Monday out in Tala, was a shift after that, and we just seemed to play a little bit different and create a lot more chances, but again, just not clinical enough. Whether it's the strikers or the midfielders, some of those chances, you should be putting them away, no matter where they, no matter what position you are, you should be putting them away. And it has hurt us. But as you say, hopefully Dougie settles in, gets up to full fitness, and starts banging in a few goals on the run in, because we badly need it.
Yeah, I suppose another man up front that's not really getting a look in at the minute. I know we started against Drogheda. I'm not sure if that was in the original plans, but Colin Whelan, just sort of in a roundabout way, I feel sorry for him, because he's had two or three bad injuries, and he just doesn't really seem to be the player that we thought he was going to be. I think he doesn't seem to have pace anymore with probably those two ACL injuries. He's not the strongest player in the world. That told that the ball was never really his game, and he's not finding himself in positions to score goals in the box. You just wonder. Is maybe his League of Ireland at bowls level probably a bit past him, because for someone who was such a prospect, it's probably sad to see that the injuries have probably taken the toll that it has.
Yeah, he's the kind of player that could leave Bowes and go on and join someone else and be flying within a few games. There's part of me that thinks show him a little bit more patience. He's still our top scorer, I think. Now, most of those goals came in two games, like one in the
Yeah,
cup.
one of the cup and the hat trick in Waterford.
But like, so there's obviously something there. He has a natural ability to score goals, but as you say, he's just not getting into the right positions, or he's just, they're not picking him out, and he isn't as good at holding up the ball. He's not strong enough to hold up the ball with his back to goal. Great feet, and when he came on against Rovers in that game on Easter Monday, he made a massive impact, like just linking up the play. But he's the kind of guy you'd like to see do well, because as you say, a couple of really bad injuries, and there is a player in there, so you never know. He might yet make a telling contribution this season, whether it's off the bench or starting. Just hopefully it turns around for him.
Yeah, we do hope that's the case. But the man that's probably taking his position, James Clark, I think he's been excellent. Friday, I don't think, was probably his best game. A bit of a game we didn't play to our strengths. I think we played to probably Sherbourne. It was a bit of a rag and tag match. How impressed have you been by him this season?
Yeah, he's been excellent, and he's had to adapt to playing up front on his own. It's not his natural position. You can see he's a central midfielder. He's playing in behind the striker is probably his best position. But he's just a magician. So when he's on it, really, the ball just sticks to his feet and he causes defenders all kinds of problems. But I think he is more effective. He's not as effective for his back to the goal. If you get a big, strong centre half, he can kind of mark him out of the game. It's just create space though from nothing, which is something that's rare in this league. Because players are on top of you immediately. But he's able to just with a touch knock it beyond the defender or torn a defender. Like he's a rare kind of player, I think, for our league.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think he'd probably be more suited to the continent than he would England.
Yeah, and there was
Obviously, the
talk of him going to England, wasn't there? At the break, was it
yeah,
Grimsby or?
I think it was Grimsby. We're definitely they inquired about him. I don't think there was ever a formal offer. I think they were just sniffing
Okay.
around the edges to see what was going on. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd say there's a very good chance he'll move along, and I'd just be worried about Dawson as well. Like, there's bound to be interest in him. Probably from abroad too, because he's just technically one of the most gifted players in the league. Jack Bourne would have probably said a couple of years ago he was the best central midfielder, but I think just Devoy is now by country mile.
I think speaking of Jack Bourne, I think there seems to be a bit of a falling out with him and Rovers. He wasn't in that.
I heard murmurings of that. All right, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't in the squad going out to the European game, which is a bit of an eye raiser out to Kosovo or Serbia, as I call it. But
Yeah.
he didn't. He then wanted to. He wasn't in the squad against Sunday against Galway. Obviously, during the week there was rumours that he had a bit of falling out with Bradley Dent. There was a few WhatsApp forward messages saying that him and Trevor Clark had a go and. Fell on Brady's lap and was a case of picking sides.
Okay.
And again, not sure the truth behind it all. That's all just hearsay at the moment. But a player probably would have taken a couple of years ago. Or probably wouldn't take him now. I think it's the injuries again. Same as he had those couple of back surgeries, and I don't think he
Yeah.
really ever came back properly from that. Which is
He seems
also in a
really
roundabout way.
plagued by injury at the moment, doesn't he? I mean, he hasn't had a run in that team at all.
No, he hasn't. That's what I think. He probably looked to make on to pastures now. I know that you remember he was meant to go to America last year and Rovers blocked the move.
That's right, yeah.
So I'm actually surprised it's actually taken this long for him to have a bit of a falling out. I thought it would have been last year. We had the chance to go abroad and probably his last chance. And now he's probably back to square one at the end of the season, trying to find a club. Not to be a shortage of people looking to take him anyway.
Yeah, I just wonder whether how many of them will be able to afford them. You're probably talking Pats, Derry, based on the rumours
Yeah.
about his wages at Rovers. So he must be one of the highest paid players in the league, I would imagine.
Yeah, you'd imagine he's on 3 or 4 thousand a week back at
Easily, yeah.
Rovers. He probably hasn't been starting a lot this season, so they'd probably be more than happy to get that off their wage bill too.
Yeah. He's not really, they're not really getting much value for money because he's just been injured all the time, hasn't he?
Yeah. And I suppose there's another question here. 2 wins in 8 games, have the wheels come off or are we just having a bit of a spell here? Personally, I don't think I is. I think we've gotten points that we probably would have lost. We've probably not won games that we probably would have won. It was win or die for those first 20 games. I think it was. There was no draws. We're probably leveling out now a little bit, but I don't think we've fallen back into all the ways in terms of performance.
No, I don't think performances have dropped off. Certainly, they're a lot better than in that first 10 games of the season. As I said, those games we just looked like with no ideas, no real threat at all. But I think we are creating chances, dominating some of the games we've played in. And we've got some on the face with, good results. The draw with Sligo, the draw with Derry away, the draw with Shells. They're good points. It's just they're kind of cancelled out when you're dropping points against teams that you probably would hope to beat when you're playing them at home. So that's what's killing us, I think. It's not the draws against the Shells and Derry of this world. It's the home points that we're dropping against teams below us on the table.
Yeah, and hopefully we can start to rectify that now. But we'll move on to yourself, Paul, and how you started off supporting the B club. When I've it's a bit of a family thing at the moment, I'd say, does it go back further?
It goes back to I started supporting Bows when I was a kid. I grew up in Dominic Street, which is about a mile from Daly Mount. And I know I listen to the show regularly. Most people will say they start going to the game with their dad. For me, it was a case of It was a gang of us that were like football mad. We'd play football from 10 in the morning till 11 at night in the summer on a kind of concrete pitch out the back of the flats. And we just decided to go up to Dalymount one Sunday afternoon. So it would have been early 80s. I think I was still in, pre-teens when I started going with the lads. And I was lucky enough to see Jackie Jameson. That was the team he played in, that early 80s team. Terry Evanston, Geno Lawless, they were all in the team. But I remember how good Jameson was, Jackie Jameson. He was just magical. And we just started going. I've probably kept going there for about 5, 6 years on and off every week. Dropped off then when I kind of got to the age where music took over and didn't go
We'll
to
go with
the
music anyway. We'll go with music, not drinking women and
Yeah.
etc.
But yeah, when the music kind of started to kick in, I'd stop going to games. So I kind of missed all of the success, the bowls and the noughties, like when they were winning titles. So I've never actually seen. I started going to bowls like regularly in 2014 again with my younger son. So I've never actually seen us win anything other than the Leinster Senior Cup.
Yeah,
But
I'm the same boat.
yeah, so I just started going in 2014 again. Kind of my youngest son was getting to this an age where they're playing video games and they're off with their friends, and I was just looking for to do something with them that was just for us every week. And I
Yeah.
mentioned going to Dalymount and went along, and just literally he loved it. We started going every week, and then Aaron, second, one of my other sons, he started going as well. So yeah, the three of us have been going regularly since 2014, 2015. Go to nearly, well, literally every home game, and a good few of the away games as well, though I haven't been to as many away games this season. So yeah, it goes back to when I was a kid, really, and just bows were just, I suppose got into them because they were close to where I live. But then just they had the one I went back in 2014. It was like going back to your childhood because the ground hadn't actually changed a whole lot. It
Yeah.
was just this nostalgic rush when you walk through the turnstiles and you see the home of Irish football sign. It was there when I was going to games, I think. So yeah, that's how I got into it. And as I say, going since 2014 regularly now to all the games. So
Yeah, and I suppose back when you're younger, were you paying at the gate, were you bunking over the wall?
I used to get lit. They used to lift you over the turnstiles. If you hung around, someone coming along would lift you over. So yeah, there was a bit of that. They wouldn't get away with that now, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. I think Rotwell be on the case at the front, pulling people down.
Yeah.
And any particular highlights over the over your years, Sporting Bowls, kid? Or I know you, the 80s
Yeah.
was a barren spell. I think the
It was a
90s
barren
more and more or less
spell, but
too.
I suppose the big game that everyone would talk about from the 80s was that Bowes Rangers game. But it's memorable for me for another reason, in that my parents adamantly refused to let me go to it because they knew there was going to be trouble, and they weren't wrong. So I kind of didn't forgive them for years after because I missed that one. But yeah, there wasn't much from those years that I could pick out and say, yeah, that was a memorable game. But there's been plenty of games since, in the Keith Long era. One game that no one would ever pick, but for me has a special significance, was a game up in Oriel Park. I think it was in 2015, and Bowes, like Dundalk, were obviously dominating the league. Cork and Dundalk were the two big sides. Bowes had a kind of a shoestring team, paying their players, I think, buttons, like the likes of Keith
Yeah.
Buckley and all would have been on next no money. And we went up there kind of no hopers. I think it was one of the first away games I brought my younger son to. And Bowes beat Dundalk 2-1 up there. And it was the moment when that game ended, it was the moment that I knew he was going to be a Bowes supporter forever. Because after that, he didn't want to know about his the English Premier League teams. It was all Bowes. So that one sticks out for me. Obviously, the Bowes Shells Cup game in 2019, where we scored those
3
three
2.
goals. Yeah, 3-2. That was an unbelievable game. Danny Mantrier scored two absolute crackers in the last 5 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one. And the two cup finals, I was so looking forward to the fourth cup final because it was the first major chance at w us winning anything.
Have you had it won before a ball was kicked?
Yeah, there was real air of confidence going into it, but it was I'm so disappointed after that. It was the way we lost as well, losing it on penos. You know, Rory Feely, I think he came on as a sub. He scored the equaliser. And didn't he have one cleared off the line or?
Yeah, the question was the second one over the line or was it not?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people try argue it was. I'd prefer if we didn't argue that case. I'm happy enough to say that it wasn't. It makes it a little bit easier knowing that there wasn't a goal that should have stood. Like I'll always say, that never crossed the line because
Yeah.
from my own mental health, I don't want that to have counted.
Yeah, I mean that was it. That was a great occasion, but obviously very disappointing. Second cup final, both Pats were the better side that day, and it was more clear cut. And then the European run, in the Aviva and Lansdowne, that was unbelievable. Like to see us go toe to toe. That win against Pauk was unbelievable. Like, great game, and they were beating the Icelandic team, and Dudelange as well there. So. Some great memories, even from, you know, years where we haven't had much success. And I think that's what football is really all about, really, is the moments, isn't it? You know, it's great to win things, but only one team can win the league a year. But like to have moments with your mates at these games, that's what makes them special and why we go to
Yeah, I think
games.
it's probably something I probably talk about more since we had Rory O'Connor on the podcast when he said that you know, you sort of try and enjoy the small moments because the big moments, unfortunately, for us don't come along the way. And that sort of that sat with me a little bit more since he told me that. It's like, you know, that is what you'll be, you know,
Exactly.
you can all win a league, but winning the league is still only one day, or winning the cup is still only one day. So, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
try and enjoy those small little wins along the way. You know, that 3-2 against Tallaght, unfortunately, Emily had an emergency, I had to leave at half time.
Okay. Jeez.
yeah,
That's a
there
bad
was,
one. Bad one to miss now.
yeah, and you know, just again that 3-2 win against Shells in the cup, obviously maybe not the biggest team, not a big rivals, but you know, it's still always good to beat them, and particularly in the circumstances. So
Yeah, it was
yeah,
just a cracking game. When you win a game where just like 3 goals in the last 5 minutes, like the place was bedlam in the stadium that night. I just remember the atmosphere, the place was hopping for the last 5 minutes. So.
That was another great night in Daly, man. So you know, we probably haven't got too many of these great nights in the old lady left. We're probably
It's
looking
true,
maybe
yeah.
next season into the new stadium. Then again, I've been hearing that line for a long, long time.
Yeah,
You
I'm beginning to
were
think, is
probably
it
hearing
ever
it back
going
in
to
the
happen?
80s.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think, is it ever going to happen? It's just everything when it comes to construction planning in this country, it just everything seems to move grindingly slow. The planning permission phases, everything about it, tendering. So I don't know. I'll believe it when we're actually out of there.
Yeah, I know it's Dublin City Council, and they want to do it, they want to do it right, but I'd be nearly happy enough if they just be at the 5,000 seater over the other side facing us in the Jody. And
Yeah.
you know, maybe even a small stand behind the goal so it's not completely derelict, but you know, you'd probably take that at this stage, you'd bring it up to about 8,000 or whatever it is, give us the new stand, you know, put a few quid into the Jody, new pitch obviously because it's like a bleeding, it's like a hill at the moment rather than a pitch. But I think you know, so we have to maybe, I know it's in the council's hands, but you know, we need to start pressuring them to fucking get this done because we're leaving hundreds of thousands probably behind a year now in terms of great revenue. So the sooner we get out, the sooner we get to get back in. Did you ever think you'd see the day where, you know, Dalry Mount will be knocked down back then, or even when you came back 2014, and I would have been around then the deal was done, but.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, when you walk into the stadium first, I love it because it just has that nostalgic link for me to the past because it looks so similar to back then. But, you know, we are crying out for obviously a ground where we can get more people through the turnstiles. So I wouldn't be against the idea of what you just mentioned there, where you know we do something with what we have, but I think we're too far into it now to go back. I think it will be a complete new rebuild or a new
All
stadium.
duck or no
So
dinner.
yeah, I think so. So yeah, look, there's part of me that, you know, obviously I think there'll be a lot of people will be sad to see it go because there's so many memories in the Daly Mount as it is now. So who knows what it'll look like? Some of the modern stadiums kind of very soulless. That'd be the big worry, that you go into somewhere and it's just, yeah, it's the facilities are better, but it's just this kind of clinical space for watching a game of football. Whereas even now, the Jody, I think it's a great place to watch watch a game of football. You're close to the pitch. The atmosphere is great. And the mono stand has obviously added to the match night experience. A lot of away fans really complimentary about that, as they think it's one of the best. Seen some fan groups saying it's one of the best away areas in the country. So I think you can do it. You could do a lot for less money and turn that around. But I think we're too far into it now, probably to look at that as an option.
It's probably the case, all right. And it will be a sad day to see Damon go. Years and years and years, endless amount of football played in it. And I will be still be Daily Mount or whatever corporate name they might want to give it, but it won't be the same. I don't care what they say, it certainly won't be the same. We
No.
will have that bit of modernness about it, similar to Tala. I know the club have put their own couple of twists in terms of, you know, standing only terraces or safe standing, but essentially, I think once it's gone, it's gone, and I don't think we'll get our back. But you know, we have to do move forward. Unfortunately, those of
That's
us
it.
who you want to stay in the past, you get stuck there.
But a few of us would be happy to stay there, but obviously progress, you have to move
you in the
forward.
90s, yeah. And suppose anything else you want to add to your memorandum or.
No, I think that's it. I suppose, as I said to you there, like for me, it's kind of a lot of it's about, you know, the people that you meet there, the kind of friendships you develop. Like I go to sit in the same area with the same, or sit with Michael, or I've been going to games with him for years. And you, like the kids don't go with me anymore to the games, but they've their own groups and their own
Yeah,
friend groups. I
we've
know
snared Aaron away anyway.
you've
We've
dragged him away,
sniffed him
so
in
I can
there,
blame you for
yeah.
that.
Well, we keep
But
him out of trouble.
yeah, I think that's for me what it's about, really. You know, as I said, it's great. I'd love us to win a league. I'd love us to win a cup, but the memories and spending time with people at the games is what you really remember in years to come. You know, the people that you meet there and the characters. So it's a special place as it is, and I just hope when it's rebuilt that it manages to retain some of that in its new guise, because it'd be an awful shame to lose that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, all right. And I suppose bring it to your other love in life, music. I know your son Aaron found his way in music, wasn't with a physical instrument, but I suppose at least he's taken up in some regards.
Very different to the music I would be into, but yeah, it's good. That's what, you know, doing anything creative or doing music in any form is always a good thing. So yeah, I got into it. Suppose start going to gigs when I was around 16, at the SFX, and then to the Underground on Dame Street, and just got into it in such a big way, and start going to see bands like Echo and the Bunnymen and New Order, you know, back in the mid-80s, and just became absolutely obsessed with music at the time. You know, it's very different landscape back then to now. Like, you know, with streaming music, streaming, there was a kind of a cult of fandom around music back then, where you really obsessed about it. You'd buy the weekly magazines. I remember actually going queuing or waiting outside record shops for new records to come out, the new 12-inch from New Order. And
LP
I'd
as
be
well.
actually, yeah, I'd be waiting outside the record shop for it to open when release day came up. Nowadays, you just flick a button and you've got your track downloaded. So start getting into it then. And I suppose seeing those bands, like I came from Dominic Street, where I suppose we were kind of taught in school not to have a whole lot of hope for the future. You know, coming from the inner city, the 80s, unemployment was massive in Dublin. And you're basically told, you know, you might as well leave school at 15 or 16 and try and get a job in a factory or go to a tech or something like that. But I just got into the music and started, myself and my cousin, bought a couple of guitars, and then we got a band together, and it was just magical for me coming from there to be able to express myself playing music, which is something. And that whole thing with punk, which I really bought into, that anyone can make music. That was a real revelation for me, because it didn't it kind of pull down the barriers that, you know, anyone can play guitar. You just have to learn a few chords. You don't have to be like technically the best guitars, but you can still do something and make something worthwhile. So we just start playing together, and took a while. Like we were this horrible noisy little band playing in Dublin, and there was loads of it was really competitive Dublin in terms of music. There was so many good bands.
Yeah, you look looking at it back then. I was just having a look at all the bands back then. There's probably, in terms in between then and now, it's, the music scene's probably picked back up in the last few years, or the Irish one in
Definitely.
general. Like there's Barrenspell, Spell, I think, probably from the late 90s up till as probably the last 2 or 3 years. Fontaine's probably kicked it off, and you have a lot of other bands, Couriers, Kneecap, they're all starting to find their own way, like even the girls' side of things, CeeMat and stuff like that. But yeah, the 90s did seem to like it was spelling the end of the Irish music scene, but it was also probably the boom of it.
Certainly the late 80s up to the mid to late 90s was a really good spell, but then, as you say, I think it did go through a bit of a trough. But yeah, we just played, released one album, didn't things weren't really going anywhere with it, and then we did this demo tape, and the guy who recorded it sent it off to someone he knew in Sony Records, and things just took off from there. Like, when, so, suddenly we had like Sony and EMI, two of the biggest record companies in the world, in a bidding war to try and get us, which was bizarre, but that's the way it
Yeah,
panned out.
I suppose that I was just looking there. I didn't realize that the album Heartworm, it was actually voted on Phantom FM as the greatest Irish album of all time, which obviously you must be some sort of hold some sort of pride out of that for sure.
I think we weren't a commercially successful band at the time. There's no like. That album didn't do what the record company would have wanted it to do. But what happened was the people who liked it seemed to really like it and kind of kept the name alive and kept spreading the word about it over the years, even when we had split up, and we reissued it there 3 years ago, and it got to number four in the Irish chart, which was massive given that we weren't even around as a band. Like, it was on the back of just purely word of mouth and the fact that the album had, I suppose, survived on its own merits all those years. So really proud of that, and very proud that it's influenced some of the bands that you've mentioned in some small way. Now some of the bands that are playing now have cited Heartworm as being an influence, and that's
Yeah,
something that's
well,
real.
it is something I have down here that that obviously Fontaines have covered almost famously. Twinkle, that's on their Skinty Fear sessions. Brilliant cover, brilliant song itself. And then of course I think it was at Fontaines at Christmas time in the Tree Arena, and I think it was the penultimate song before they came on. And I was like, we don't need nobody else. And I was like, surely not. Like Jesus, yeah, didn't realize much of an influence you've had on Fontaines, but just goes to show, back then, as Graham Chapman and them wouldn't have been around for Whipping Boy, it would have been pre their time, but just goes to show, music lives forever.
That's kind of really rewarding for us. Like, if you'd asked me back then, would you like to have a flash in the pan hit album, or would you like people still to be listening to the record? Like, 40th anniversary this year, Heartworm. If you, I think I'd have taken the latter, because I think that's we've made a record that stands the test of time, is something to be proud of, and I'm real proud of what we did as a band together. Kind of changed my life playing in the band, and I got to see places I probably would never have got to see if I hadn't been for the band, and experience things. So it was a great period, from I think 88 and 89 up till 2000. We were pl sorry up till 2000 we were together on and off. So it was something that I look back on with great fondness and pride.
Yeah, and I've seen it's still quite big now actually, but back then would have been huge time later on Jules Holland.
Yeah,
What was
we
that
got
like to
that.
be
That was a
invited
bit
on?
of a yeah, it was a bit of a coup getting on, because we were completely unknown at the time. So I think we just signed with Sony, but we hadn't put the album out, and we managed to get on the Jules Holland show. It was probably the most terrifying thing I'd done in my life up till that point, because they record it live, but it doesn't go out live, which was just as well on the night, because during one of our songs, my guitar cut out. It was a technical problem. So I had to suffer the mortification of us to having to do it again. And if you watch the video back, you'll probably see I'm actually almost motionless in terror after that it would happen again during the song. But that night, Sinead O'Connor was on, Dusty Springfield, and McAlmont and Butler. So we were on, we shared the show with some big, real heavy hitters that night. So yeah, we were really unknown, like, but it did an awful lot for the band profile in the UK. Like everywhere we went on tour in England, the first thing people would say, we saw you on Jules Holland. So it was a good experience, and it definitely helped the band in the UK, certainly.
Yeah, and I think it was a slow dive supportages as well at one stage.
A very forced gig in London in the Camden Falcon. We'd been reading about the Camden Falcon in the Melody Maker. All the bands play there, like all the bands we loved. And we thought this was some amazing venue. And we arrived over to Camden. It was in the back of this pub. And it was this shitty little room. Like it looked like someone's basement. It was like there was nothing in it. There was hardly any gear in it yet. Like you'd know, tiny PA. But Slow Dive were playing one of their first gigs as well. And yeah, I think we went on after them. So we can claim, my claim to fame is that Slow Dive supports us. But even then, that night, they were really good. I remember them, remember that gig vividly, and they were excellent.
Yeah, and I think I have another one here. I think is it true or false you supported the Smashing Pumpkins and
We
following
did.
the gig you claimed you blew them off the fucking park?
I don't know if we claimed that. I think there was a review in Melody Maker, which I think pissed them off because the reviewer came over and he reviewed us, but he didn't review them, and he gave us a full picture. But they treated us, what we did say was they treated us pretty badly. Like they blanked us before the gig. They gave us no sound check. So they got a bit of a reaction out of us, let's say, when we played. We went on stage furious. So yeah, I don't, maybe some people said we did really well that night, but I'm sure Smashing Pumpkin fans will claim, probably won't even remember us.
Yeah, and I suppose another couple of I just haven't looked there at the list. Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello, we didn't support him. We played a live French TV show with Elvis Costello and Lou Reed.
Oh, no
So
way, that's
they were
class.
both on it. We supported Lou Reed for like 6 weeks around Europe, on his European tour. That's probably one of the highlights of my time with the band, like getting to play with someone who was a big idol of ours growing up. But there was this TV show where we got to play, I think, two songs, and Lou played one on his own, and Elvis played one, and then they played one together. So I just remember watching them rehearse. Like this was before the show started, and it was like there was two egos going at it because Lou was telling him to turn his guitar down, and Elvis was being very diplomatic. But Lou had a bit of a reputation for being, a difficult character. But he was really nice to us and looked after us very well on that tour, I have to say.
Yeah, and any stories you can share with us as a rock and roll band in the 90s from what one you can remember and two you can say in the public domain?
I have to be diplomatic here. I suppose we supported Nick Cave as well. Supported Nick Cave on two dates in Ireland, and my main memory of that sh those shows, we played them in Galway the first night, and Fergal, who can be, was their singer, was quite animated on stage, and he managed to knock the lighting rig out of kilter for Nick Cave. So they came in afterwards and were absolutely furious. They told us, don't turn up for the Dublin gig, you're off. So there was a lot of back and forth between the tour manager, and eventually Nick Cave himself came out and said, let them play. So we were back on for Dublin. But yeah, we lots of little things like that. Another very early 90s, we were almost in the film The Commitments.
Yeah,
Almost.
no way.
Yeah, there was an open audition held in Dublin, and literally every band in Dublin went for this. We'd heard that Alan Parker, the director, was shooting a film about the music scene. It didn't go into much more details, and they wanted bands to turn up. So we went along, and we went out and did our thing. And there was some talk that Fergal might have caught their eye, but we never got called back. And then when we saw the type of music that was in the film, we kind of understood that we wouldn't have fit in at all. It was all soul music, and that wasn't us in the early
No,
90s. We were the
never
least, the
got to
least
meet.
soulful band in Ireland, I'd say, at that
Yeah,
time.
never got to meet Wilson Pickett anyway.
Never got to meet him, no.
And
But
any traveling abroad, any nice memories along the way or funny stories?
yeah, lots of nice memories. Again, played some beautiful places with Lou Reed, and it was great. He'd give us 30 minutes on stage, and he'd play for 3 hours. So we'd go out and just do a half an hour set, and then just spend the rest of our time. Just spend the rest of time was like living in a bit of a dream. You get to stand at the side of the stage every night watching Lou Reed come out and play the opening chords to Sweet Jane. That's like a song that we'd listen to when we were growing up. So that was amazing. And we got to remember playing, hanging out with Lou Reed, playing pool with him, and just remember how the crew were missing shots that they should have put away just so that Lou could win. I think there was an unwritten rule, you don't beat Lou at pool. So, but nobody told us that. So we were going at it when we played him. But now loads of great memories, fond memories of playing in Europe, playing. We did seem to do well in France. The French kind of seemed to take to us, although there was one very typical Whitten Boy story where I think it was the second when Heartburn came out, someone ran in and excitedly told us that the album had sold 60,000 copies, and we were like high-fiving, and we only a week gone, and then they came back and said it was a mistake. It was like something closer to 6,000. So you never seen more a deflated party when they when we heard
The money was
that.
spent already.
Yeah, well, look,
Yeah,
yeah, lots of good fond memories. Lots of hard, difficult times as well in the band, but
any particular lowlights? Obviously, a couple of breakups along the way, but.
yeah, the band broke up was really tough, and I kind of we all dealt in our own way, but I found it really, really tough because it felt like your whole you'd poured so much of your life into this, and when you're in a band, you're so dependent on the other members of the band, and you don't really realize that until the existence of the band is threatened. Like if one member of the band decides, "I'm out of here," then the whole thing, it's like a house of cards that comes down. So when we split up, it was very difficult afterwards, and I took a while to recover from that and stop playing guitar because I kind of associated playing guitar and making music with negative things,
Yeah.
kind of failure and disappointment, and it did feel like when we broke up that it had been a failure, the whole thing had been a failure. But it's funny how time and how things work out, because as I said to you before, the album's just had a life of its own and kept growing over the intervening years without us doing anything. So when we did reissue, it was just lovely to see the love for the band and how many people spoke about how much that album meant to them. So, that makes it all worthwhile, I suppose, when you look back on it.
Yeah, I suppose you said do a bit of traveling around. Any gigs you particularly stand out over the years, or that's your favourite one?
Yeah, I suppose it's difficult to pick out a favorite. To be honest, a lot of it disappears in a kind of blur of, white noise and smoke on stage. It's hard to distinguish between them all. There's a couple of great gigs in the Rock Garden. I don't know if you remember, the Rock Garden used to be in
No, I do not.
Temple Bar, and it was kind of took over the underground, closed down on Dame Street, and they opened this venue, the Rock Garden. It was a proper, really good setup in there. But I just remember it was around the time just after our first album came out, and there was a bit of a buzz about the band. And I just remember some great nights where we were the kind of band, when we were on, it was brilliant, but when we weren't on, it could be absolute shite. And we had a few of those. Like I remember gigs. I remember more of those than the good ones. I remember a gig in London where we were told, like, all the record companies were coming down. There was loads of press going to be at it. It was a kind of a big London show for us. And then the first 5 minutes, the one thing that would never break, you get guitar strings breaking, where our drummer's kick drum broke, like the actual kick drum broke, and he didn't have a replacement, so he was there trying to fix it with a gaffer tape, and it wasn't working, and like the singer stormed off the stage, Fergal stormed off the stage in frustration, and the whole thing was going to shit. It was like you could see people in the audience shuffling around saying, "What is this?" But we stayed on stage for 25 minutes and just start improvising and kind of rescue the gig. But there was a few of those in our time where we had opportunities where record companies were there or the press were there, and we just didn't deliver on the night. And kind of they're the ones I remember more than the good ones, you know.
Yeah, most certainly. I suppose music has changed a little bit along the way, and I think it's nearly reverted back to back then. Live music has taken a bit of revival. I think we all feared the worst in probably the late 2000s into the 10s, that maybe everything going a little bit too electronic, and we're probably seeing the age of rock music. But I was just having a look there, listening to quite a bit of their music, maybe in the LGM playlist or out in the walk playlist. But we're just having a look at the numbers there. Nearly over 1.5 million listens to "And We Don't Need Nobody Else." When we were young, is 1.4 million listens, and Twinkle has 730 or 740, I think. These are songs released, as you said, 30 years ago, and to have these sort of listens nowadays, you're probably quite must be quite proud, even then, looking at these numbers. Again, probably the likes of Fontaine's giving that bit of boost and a bit of kick to the Whippin' Boys' life, even now.
Absolutely. I like Fontaines definitely have been instrumental in definitely bringing the new fan base to us, that covering that song. And I think Green wore one of our t-shirts on stage, and we got bombarded with requests from Fontaines fans for that t-shirt because he had worn it. So yeah, the lads have definitely helped boost our interest in the band, I suppose, with a younger generation, which is great. Yeah, and it's as you say, to see those numbers for those songs, 1.5 million, that's probably about €25 in royalties if it's coming from Spotify.
Yeah, I
But
got.
it's still good to see that people are still listening to it. That's the main thing for me, that people still want to listen to it, and the name is still alive, you know.
Yeah, and what have you made of Fontaines? I'm just touching them a little bit. They've always been quite heavily involved with Bowls, and it's probably
Yeah.
good to see a young Dublin rock band, take over the world.
Great band, and yeah, as you say, I think anyone that's seen them in their recent gigs would say that they've really stepped up. Like, they now look like one of the biggest bands in the world, or they're certainly one of the biggest rock bands now. And it's great to see them do so well. They are a great band. I think the albums they've released have been excellent. And there's other bands, like you mentioned, really like the Gurriers album. Thought that was excellent. For Those I Love, Dave Balfe released a new album the other day. I think that's brilliant, one of the best
We
albums.
won't give too much time
I
to the Shells
know.
fan.
I know he's a Shells fan. I met him before. I met him at festival. We were doing it was a kind of a panel discussion about music, and I was on it with David a couple of years ago, and we were talking Bows and Shells before we went on. So I know he's a brilliant songwriter as well. You'd have to give him. And bands like the Pillow Queens are good as well. There's so many good Irish bands. CMAT's doing great as well. So yeah, it's great to see. And as someone who's a kind of a guitar head, I'm really delighted to see guitar bands back at the forefront, as you say, kind of electronic music. And my own son, he's mad into the techno and electronic, but I'm just delighted that guitars are. And guitar bands are making a kind of a there's a bit of a revival and a comeback with
Yeah, I would have enjoyed my techno music in my early 20s when I could
them.
handle my drink and etc. a bit more than I can now.
Yeah.
But I suppose, rock and roll has always been my sort of music. My elf would have been, U2, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC. That would have had its influence on me. I would have been probably caught the tail end. Oasis were just broken up as I was sort of, it could have been 2009, would have been 14, 15, just as I was starting to find my way onto YouTube and RedTube, but more so YouTube, I suppose, and was getting me away, listening to Oasis, new songs here and there, and then all of a sudden you realize this band isn't around anymore.
Yeah. Did you get
But
tickets for the gigs yourself,
I
or
was at the
are you?
Cardiff gig gone by.
Oh yeah, it's
I was
good.
at that over there. It was brilliant, yeah. So hopefully get lucky this weekend. But that was guitar music was always my sort of thing. Kasabian and Stone Roses and stuff like that when they came back,
Yeah.
it was good to have. So, to have Irish bands that you can really sort of align with now, I think is fantastic. I
Yeah.
have a question here as well from Luke Sinner, frequent contributor to the podcast. What is personality about? An absolute lyrical masterpiece. The last minute and a half is so good.
Yeah, so that song is us basically taking a bit of a pop at some of the people we've had run-ins in Dublin with. But the section he's talking about, I think, is that last section, and it opens up with a line. The fantastic thing about the female is that she was put on this earth to be admired and adored, not abused. And I'll tell you how that came about. We were in, and we mentioned it in the song, we were sitting in a boozer at JJ Smith's. I think it's gone now. It used to be up on Anger Street. It was right beside this studio that we were recording in. And this old man walked in and he sat beside us and he started asking us, you know, we started telling him what we were doing. And he had this really rich Dublin voice. And we said to him, if you could say anything, we'd love to put you on our record, If you could say one thing, what would you say right now? And he thought for a minute, and that's the line he came up with. The fantastic thing about female is that she was put on this earth to be admired and adored, not abused. So we just thought it was a brilliant line, and we kept it. Like, that was years before we wrote the song. It was just something we remembered. And yeah, that song, there's probably a few people cited during the in the lyrics of that we had a run, we had run-ins with in Dublin at the time, and I'd say music industry heads would recognize some of the references, even though we've covered them up. But that's what that's really about. It's just about a lot of our songs, I suppose, on Heartworm are rooted in Dublin. They were about the Dublin of the 90s and the Dublin that we were kind of growing up in. So personality name checks a few of those places that we would have hung out in, like JJ Smith's. And yeah, it's not a song someone, a lot of the fans of Heartworm would often pick. So I'm surprised to see it was picked up. So good one.
And Greg Malloy has a couple of quick fire questions here for you.
All right.
Oasis or Blur?
Oasis.
Aslan or the Blades?
Oh, that's a very tough one. I'm going to go lightly with the Blades, even though I know I do like Aslan as well, and I think yeah, the Aslan Bowes connection's cool, but I love the Blades.
Duran Duran or Spandau Ballet?
Again, I'm going to go against the Bowes here and go with Duran Duran.
The Clash or the Ramones?
The Clash.
U2 or Rolling Stones?
There's no way I can say U2 after the statement yesterday, so I'm going to
Yeah,
go. I'm go. I'll alienate 95% of the Bowes fan base if I did. Now, I would say the Stones.
and then this one's for me. Fontaines or Whipping Boy?
Fontaines.
I'll go with Whipping Boy. So, and
Yeah,
I know Fontaines obviously been famously on a couple of shorts, but you managed to get We Don't Need Nobody Else on a bow short as well. It must have been a good feeling.
that was amazing. That was, I think that was the 21-22 season, and I'm not even sure how it came about. I just remember I didn't know Dan Lambert at the time, even though I've been supporting the club. I just knew him to see, and it was at that Meadows Festival that I mentioned there that I was at. I think Raddy Pete was on it as well on the panel, and Dan just came up to me beforehand, and he kind of knew that I was a Bowes supporter, and he just told me they were putting out a jersey with this on the back of it, and I was just blown away. I couldn't believe it. So I think that's possibly the most impressive thing, you know, I've ever. The kids, they don't care about anything I've done in the mu music, but the fact that we were on that jersey for that season, it was a proud moment, and watching them run out the very first game was brought a bit of a tear to the eye. So yeah, it means a lot to me. Like, you know, it
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
being a Bowes supporter for since I was a kid, and then it, to go full circle and see, you know, her band, and they would often play one of the songs, you know, before the games at Dalymount when we were young, is often played on the playlist. I heard Keith Long was a fan of the band. I don't know how true that was, but I hit that's what I heard.
Keith's
But it was a
definitely Keith was definitely a music head anyway. I was in the bar after, was it was last game of the season for sure. It was past serving hours, I'll say that much. And he was singing a bit of Smith, so he is most
very
certainly
nice.
a music head, and he wasn't too bad either actually.
Very good. Jesus, I'm
So yeah,
impressed.
he is. I think he's been spotted a few gigs as well over the years. So I think he wouldn't, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he was a Whipping Boy fan at all.
Yeah. I have to say, I would have been a Keith Long. I was devastated when I saw him
You
leave
still
the
are. I
club.
can still see your
Yeah.
tweets.
Yeah. And I was. I you know, and I know there was an element of it run its course when he did go. But I thought he was very unlucky in that last season before things went pear-shaped. Like, he lost the spine of the team, and you know, it was... and then you saw what, you know, Devine had a lot more, you know, we went full time then after that. I think, wasn't it just after Keith Long that we went full time, start training in the mornings, we got a
Yeah.
director of football in, and you know, he was doing everything on his own essentially for a spell at the club, I thought he did a brilliant job with the resources he had at hand. But yeah, obviously, I suppose I was there kind of from 2014. It was just after he had been appointed. So I have a kind of a soft spot for him. And I think he gave us some really memorable nights. There was a real connection, I thought, with the fans and the team during his time there that we lost for a while. Like, I thought there was a real sense with the fans that they knew the team and the club. You know, we didn't have the resources of other teams. It was players were playing for a lot less wages, but they put everything in for the short. And I just thought Keith Long was instrumental in that. And I thought he genuinely loved the club. I never got that sense with Devine. I thought Decky was great at paying lip service to saying that, you know, how much he loved the ball. I really felt that with Keith, which was I thought was the difference. And then with Alan Reynolds, he doesn't make any real bones. You
Yeah.
know, he's there to do a job. So, like, that's fair enough as well, you know.
Yeah,
But
absolutely. And I suppose he probably is getting a little bit into it more, but we'll revert back to the music world here. I do believe that you had a post up the other day. You're looking to get back into it. I'm not sure how much you can reveal at this moment in time, but are you
yeah,
excited?
I'm very excited. To be honest, 6 weeks ago, about 6 weeks ago, this was I wasn't even on the cards. So it's all kind of happened very quickly. And what happened was, just before Christmas, I kind of got an inkling to start playing again, just for my own amusement, really. And I bought this little 8-track recorder and just start jotting down ideas. And there's a singer from a brilliant 80s band called Into Paradise, Dave Long. Been doing stuff, solo stuff, since his band split up. Made some great records, and he's kept in touch with me. And I looked for a bit of advice for him on that 8-track because I knew he had one. And then he just suggested, I think it was only about 6, 7 weeks ago, he said, "Would you be interested if I sent you a song and you put some guitar on it?" And I was a bit r reluctant because it's a bit like relearning to play the guitar when you haven't played that much. So he sent it, and it just. He loved it, the little bit that I did. And then he sent me another one. And then I sent him an idea. And all of a sudden, we had things going back and forth by email. Like, he lives down in Kerry. And we've got four songs ready. It's fairly lo-fi. It's recorded on these cheeky little 8-track. But we're very happy with how it's turned out. And we're just going to put it out on Bandcamp. And maybe some people will be interested and maybe they won't. But it's coming out this Friday. It's called the Sentimental Tourists EP. That's the name for the we didn't want to use our own name, so we're putting it out on Friday and we'll see how it goes. Okay, there's no ambition. It was just for me. It was a little bit about kind of rediscovering what I loved about making music again. And if nobody buys it, I don't care. It's exciting for me, to be doing it again and working with someone with Dave who we. I really admire, and he's been real encouraging in trying to get me back because he'd been nodding, prodding away at me for years. Like, he'd send me the odd DM, "Are you doing anything in music?" And I'd always say no. And I think eventually he found a way to get me back in by sending me that track. So yeah, I'm really happy with what we've done.
Any plans to gig again or?
No, that's like, as I say, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, we hadn't even like. I had no plans to even do this. It just worked out. We started exchanging ideas and the tracks came together really quickly. And it's great when that happens because sometimes it can be a torturous thing putting music together. But he's a great songwriter and singer and made it so easy. So no plans to gig. It's purely just going to put out a few songs, see how it goes. And look, if it goes all right, we might do it again and release write and record a few more songs. But yeah, it's a really interesting way of making music nowadays, where like when I was starting off, you'd have to go into a physical
A
location
studio, yeah.
and everyone would have to gather and it was really expensive and you'd save for months. Now, like, you can do pretty good, decent recordings with a laptop or with a little 8-track device like that, and it turns out reasonably well. And then you can distribute them through Bandcamp for next to nothing. So yeah, it's good.
That's
We'll
where
see how
the
it goes.
what time is that out on Friday?
It'll be out first thing on Friday morning because I'll probably be so excited just to press publish. I'll get up early, but yeah, probably around 8, 9 o'clock. And yeah,
What
I'll
genre is
put
it
up.
going to squeeze into?
It's definitely still in the kind of rock indie space. So indie, it's guitar music. There's no, I haven't gone techno or I haven't changed to go on anything extreme. So yeah, some people are like it. There's, I suppose, people who would have liked his Into Paradise and Whipping Boy. We were kind of similar ilk. They were kind of very post-punk bands at the time. Very like, or not very like, but definitely influenced by bands like Echo & the Bunnymen and The Sound. They released one brilliant album, Churchtown. Recommend it if you haven't heard it. And he's a great, Dave's a great guy and great songwriter. So yeah, I'm delighted we've got it together. It's given me a bit of a boost and a bit of a just something, a little bit of excitement, things, something to look forward to. Other than Bohemians going to see Bows every week and not knowing how your weekend's going to pan out. So
Yeah, I've been asked this question to ask you. Ask about when we were young and the rubber lips.
okay. There is a story behind that. So the line is he stole rubber lips and tenors. And this story was actually told at my wedding, believe it or not. So me and my cousin grew up together. We went on to be in the band together. Miles was the bass player with Whipping Boy. And when we were kids, we literally hung around together every weekend. So the rubber lip story is we went to Hector Gray one day, this little toy shop that used to be on Liffey Street. It sold all kinds of tat and all kinds of just cheap plastic toys. And we were in there and I saw these rubber novelty lips. And I said to Miles, Jesus, I'd love them. And we hadn't a penny between us, right? So I said, I'd love them and walked out. We were halfway up the road and Miles takes them out of his pocket. And I said, how do you get them? He said, I took them. So the funny thing is I made him go back and put them back. So he told that story at my wedding and he said it and he said, it just goes to show what an ungrateful bastard he is. So yeah, that's where the rubber lip story comes from.
Suppose I normally ask a few football questions, but I'll transfer them over to the music world if possible. If you normally, instead of a five aside, can you name your four or five members from a perfect band, from drummer, bassist, guitarist, and lead singer?
Well, that's a difficult one. Singer, I'm going to go with Liz Fraser from the Cocktail Twins. I don't know if you know that band or an 80s band, but she was an unbelievable singer, just this incredible voice. We would probably go with her. I'd go with Will Sargent on guitar from Echo and the Bunnymen. He was my big guitar hero. I'd go with Andy Rourke from the Smiths as bass player and maybe Stone Roses drummer.
Rennie, isn't it?
Yeah, Rennie.
Yeah,
Maybe.
maybe.
Have to think about the drum. I'll have to think about the drummer a bit more, but yeah, that'd probably be the band I'd go with.
Very good. And who is your favorite band? You know, you've referenced Echo and the Bunnymen as a them.
Would have been certainly growing up, the Bunnymen would be the big kind of influence on me. Obviously the Velvet Underground loved the music they made. I thought was real. I suppose it was quite radical music at the time, and it was a big influence on what we did. Sonic Youth were another band that I loved whenever we were growing up, and they were a big influence on early Whipping Boy. So, but I'd say the Bunnymen were the band for me. Yeah, they would be the one I'd say. Probably the best gig I was ever at was the Bunnymen as well.
Yeah, and if you could go for a point with one music player, dead or alive, who would it be?
Jesus, one music player.
But I could be singer, songwriter, it can be
Yeah.
guitarist, drummer, bassist. They can play the saxophone or the triangle.
I would probably say this. I'd probably say Morrissey. Now I know Morrissey gets a lot of flack now, but the Morrissey when I was growing up, I'd say it was kind of entertaining, witty. So it'd be Morrissey from the 80s, maybe not the Morrissey of now, since he's got the slightly dodgy far right leanings. But yeah, I always thought he'd be good fun to have a beer with, just because I thought he was just such a witty guy at the time back in the 80s. Like some of his interviews are hilarious from back in the day when the Smiths started off. But Yeah, maybe him.
And if you could give any sort of word of advice to anyone out there making music now, there's probably a couple of listeners in there that might be practicing guitar at the moment or in a band that's starting off.
Yeah, I suppose that's something that's I've been asked before, and piece of advice I'd give there is, kind of follow your own path. Like, it's great to get guitar lessons or lessons in any instrument, but there's a large part of what makes people original as musicians is how they learn to play themselves. And, sometimes going to lessons will teach you how to play the guitar technically well, but you don't really explore the instrument in your own way, where you might come up with a certain style or a certain way of playing that's more unique to you. So I'd say, if I was offering anyone advice, is not one, not to be afraid to do it. Like, I do think anyone can make music, and you don't have to be technically proficient, technically gifted as a guitarist to make something worthwhile. So I'd say, that's the advice, and also to try and develop your own style rather than just following what other people do and the way they play.
Yeah, and thanks very much for that. That was very insightful into the whipping boy career. And was there any sort of a bit of a thought process to maybe get back during the bit of revival a couple of years ago when it was flying around again?
Yeah, there was a lot of interest, and when we reissued the album, there was good offers for us to do it. Really good offers. But there ha would have to be something more than money for us to do it, to be honest. Like, there's lots of reasons, probably good reasons not to do it, and probably the only reason at the time was the only reason anyone really came up with was, well, you'd make good money from doing it, and that wasn't enough for us. I think there was just wasn't the will in the band at the time to get out and, go through the whole thing of rehearsing and getting the whole machine back running again of playing music. It's not just a case of just rocking up, particularly when you've been away so long. It would have been a difficult venture, and we were all living in different parts of the country, different things going on in their life. So yeah, there were offers to do it, and we still probably, if we were to do it, we'd get good offers, but it'd have to be for something more than money. We'd have to really want to do it, and that's something that, for various reasons at the moment, like the band, they're back on a good terms together. We had a great night out recently, the four of us. It was the first time we've been together for years, like, but we had a good
Yeah.
night out. It was really good to reminisce and talk with the lads again. But just there's no plans to get back together as of now. And I do get asked that question literally every week,
Well,
Esther,
I believe it,
but
yeah.
not at the moment.
Yeah, and just before we move on to the football, there is also a big weekend of music in Daily Mount this coming weekend. That Friday night we kick off. Anyone who of a certain vintage remember Rob Smith playing in the Vars before games, he is back in town. He's currently in Argentina at the moment, but he'll be back Friday to play some music pre-gig in Mono's Bar. And then there's halftime entertainment also. And then post-game, a lot of people have been on to me. Paul rejected the offer. I was going to sing, he was going to play the guitar, but he said he's busy Friday night. So I couldn't get a band together for me to do the lead sing, but we will be hosting a karaoke night in Daly Mount on Friday. Hopefully it all goes well in on the pitch. We get through the next round. Make sure to fill out the bar a bit of everyone, have a few ways to sing songs ahead of the weekend ahead. So I would urge anyone that's having a few drinks after the game, pop into the bar, have a good night in it. There's not too many left in Daly Mount. Let's take the most of it while we can. And of course, then make sure to get your ticket for Saturday or Sunday if you are heading into Oasis Star. Plenty of people, of course, who are going to the two gigs. Bobby Gillespie playing. I couldn't believe when we got that name on the board.
Saw
But
that, yeah.
it's a great
Impressive.
one to have. Love Primal Scream as well. Seen them a couple of years ago. So anyone out on the beer this weekend, I think there's only one place to be if it's not Croke Park. But suppose we'll move on to this coming Friday, Paul, and it is the big one. It's the one we've all wanted, the thing we've lusted for the last number of years. Nobody has won more cup games than Bowes the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, alas, it's escaped our hands from the jaws of victory many, many times. We're going into it, I think, hopeful. This is what we've always, you particularly probably since 2014 as well. You probably eyed up just as much as I have.
Absolutely. I'd love us to win the cup. I mean, the whole occasion is amazing. Like, get to a cup final is great, but to go that extra step and win it. I think this week's game is, we drew Sligo. I think there was a lot of optimism saying it was a good draw, but I think it's a very potential banana skin. I think Sligo's form, I know the last two games they've lost, but up till that they had some really good results. Like they'd beaten Derry, drawn with Rovers, drew with us, they won their cup game, they beat Cork. So they've good players, like that young lad Elding is a smashing player, and they've your man McLean at the back is a very decent defender as well. So I don't think it's going to be an easy game. And I suppose the only thing we have going for us, it is at home. So if you get a home draw in the cup, you've got to be happy with that. But it's no, you know, it's a potentially very difficult tie. And if we get through that, I think this year a lot of the big teams were kept apart in the last round. So potentially the next round will be fairly heavy loaded with good teams as well. So the path to the final is a little bit tougher than it had been in previous years, I think. I think
Yeah.
previous years, a few of the bigger teams had gone out early, you know.
Yeah, most certainly. I remember when the draw did come out, I was a bit like, oh, I know Derry and Drogheda were still in there, and that the fear was you'd get one of those. But we
Yeah.
have managed. It's a home draw, which I think is vitally important. I hope the crowd get behind them. I think the fans do lift that game when it's a cup game. It's a bit more noisier and it's a bit more, partisan atmosphere. I'm hoping that continues into this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the cup
Yeah.
winners do get into the second round of or the first round of the Europa League next year, so you'd be guaranteed two games in European football. Two nice trips away, hopefully.
That
So,
makes it very attractive. That makes it even, a bigger deal winning the cup, doesn't it?
yeah,
That
100%.
route into Europe is, it's potentially really lucrative for the club if we do go that way. But it's a long way. We've a few, potentially a few difficult games to get there, and it starts with Friday night. I don't think it's going to be easy at all. Close game.
Absolutely. I think we're both hoping that DJT comes into the squad and he's
Hopefully,
starting and firing.
Even if he's not firing on all cylinders, he is a natural goal scorer. You could see that with the goal he scored against, was it Cork? Yeah, that
Against
goal.
Cork, yeah. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was Galway.
Go, sorry, go. Yeah, it was just one touch, bang, hardly any backlift on the balls nestled in the back of the net. You need players who can deliver those kind of moments, and he is one. Although I would have put my house on him scoring that one-on-one the other day, but yeah, look, sometimes a one-on-one it can be almost too easy, and players just they have too much time to think about it, where an instinctive goal scorer probably just need a split second to get the ball away, whereas the other day he had too much time on it, I think.
Yeah, sometimes the striker's better off and they haven't got time to think.
Yeah, but no, it should be a good, great atmosphere, and I think. Hopefully we can win it, but I wouldn't be surprised to be walking away from Dalymount on the one, end of a 1-0 defeat on Friday night. But I'm a natural pessimist
A natural
when it comes
pessimist.
to balls.
Yeah, I know Chippy John O'Connor's constantly in my ear about being too optimistic, but someone needs to be deluded, and if it has to be me, I'd rather be me than somebody else.
No, John's still clinging on to the thing that we're just about safe from relegation. So
Yeah, we're only eight places clear.
Yeah, he's the other end of the scale. So, but
Yeah,
look,
most certainly. But the centre half pairing, I'm not a fan of Lacey. I don't like coming on criticising players. Individually, it's not really something I like doing. I try to avoid it at all costs, but I just can't get used to him. I think he just has too many brain farts, and now he's young. He's only played a few games, and
having a.
I think he just has his brain farts, and it's not just one. He can have two or three in 10 minutes, and it can cost you a goal or two. He is young, and obviously he's got plenty of development ahead of him, and hopefully there's a bows, and because he is there for the next 2 seasons. But I think it's I'd be going with Cian Bourne and Rob Cormack centre half myself.
Yeah, I think I would as well. Cian Bourne is still taking a bit of time to settle back in, and I think he was playing in midfield for most of his time
Yeah.
at Galway when he was on loan. So yeah, I think that's probably our best centre half partnership at the moment, though, still himself and Cornwall. It'd be interesting to see James McManus. He's eligible to play against us, is he? Or do you
No, he's
know?
not. He's
No, he's not.
not cup tied, but he's not allowed to play against his parent club, so
Okay.
We're safe from him anyway. I'm not sure
Yeah, so
who he'll be cheering for now in the long haul, but
yeah, imagine the scenario where he was to come up and score the winner or something if he had been playing, but
I
so
just wonder, is there a case there if the boy gets injured on Friday night and he breaks a leg? Obviously, please God, he doesn't, and I'm not jinxing it, but is there an option to call back McManus if needed? You'd imagine there might be, so he could end up coming back in and he hasn't played a cup game. Obviously,
yeah,
the
I
cuffs
was
do get
kind of
through.
sorry to see him go as well, because I think he was starting to get back to fitness after that bad injury, and he's a real quality player, McManus. I think when he does come back, and they seem to love him up there as well, don't they? He seems to have
Yeah,
gone down a
they're obsessed with him. They're
yeah.
absolutely obsessed with him at the moment. So hopefully he does kick on and come back. But again, I'm hoping Dawson Lavoie puts on a masterpiece on this Friday night. I think he's without doubt the best midfielder in the league. I don't think anyone's touched him at the minute. I know people were comparing him to Guy Forrester when he was playing well, but I think Forrester was a bit more of a number 10 than Lavoie was. Lavoie's got that nearly. With that Paul Scholes, Pirlo about him, he just
Yeah.
turns and all of a sudden he's 5 yards away from the player who was a half a yard away from a second ago. And, I think if he shows up on Friday, that's nearly half a battle on a weekly basis. And I think his performance is the reason why we probably haven't been losing as many games in terms of, it was win loss. I think we've turned a lot of those losses into draws. And I think a lot of that was down to him and his excellence in midfield. And of course, going forward, you'd hope he's going to add a couple more goals. But, hopefully Ross Tierney now can lift off. I don't think, not that he owes us goals, but
Yeah.
he's definitely due a bit of a streak, and hopefully he can
He's been a
shake
bit more
off.
inconsistent than Dawson, hasn't he, in terms of his contribution? Like, he's had some great games for us, like, and he's played really well in a couple of those games against Rovers, but then there's been other games where he's just hasn't had the same impact. Whereas Dawson, you get it nearly every game,
Yeah, I
he's
think Tierney
delivering.
gives you everything in terms of work rate, desire, 100% attitude. But I think he knows himself that he's probably let himself down in terms of being in front of goal. He's
Yeah.
had chances and he's not taken them. And it could be a confidence thing. It's just maybe just one of those things. And again, he's not essentially a striker. He is a midfielder, so that's probably why. But we do need to see start need him to start taking his chances a little bit more. And we need other players to chip in. But hopefully Friday night we get going and get a bit more of a bit of a running goal. But speaking of in goal, would you go with Talbot or would you go with Casper?
Go with Casper. I think Casper's been, I thought he was very good. Even against Shells the other day, he made a couple of great saves. Thought at the start of the season with Casper, I don't know, it was a little bit unsure. He didn't seem
Yeah,
like the
he
same
came back
player,
in and made a few mistakes even
but
then.
he's grown into it as the season's gone on, and I think he's back to the levels he was at. Talbot's a great keeper as well, and I'd say he's not going to want to stay warming the bench for another season. Like, I could
Yeah,
see him
well,
being a
Casper's not
player
been
that will.
signed up next year either yet, so
Oh, has he not now?
his contract is also up at the end of the season. So you just wonder, although he could be on a move abroad. I don't see him staying in Dublin. I think Anand got a long deal. I think McGinty's obviously got a long deal. I know Shells now have two keepers, so I can't see him going anywhere in the League of Ireland. Possibly
Yeah.
Derry, but I'd imagine if he is leaving, he might look abroad.
Yeah, he's a great keeper, and had that little spell at the start of the season where I thought, his levels had dropped a little bit. He looked a little bit more unsure and not as commanding, but he's back now and made a couple of crucial saves for us in the last few weeks.
Yeah, and before we wrap up, I'll get you to put a prediction on Friday night.
I'm going to go Bows 2-1.
I'm going to go 2-1 as well. I think we'll go 2-0 up, concede in the 80th minute, and then we'll all be biting our fingernails off for the last 10 minutes in Bohemian fashion. And
Sounds
then
about right.
just last question for you here, Paul, before we wrap up. What does Bows mean to you now on this day?
Yeah, I think for me, I suppose, look, my boyhood club, my family, my kids now support them as well. So there's that kind of line back to your past, and that means something to me, something that was a big part of my life as a kid carries through to now. I think the stuff that the club does that is often criticized by rival fans, that's something I really admire, like the money that we've raised off those jerseys. Yeah, there's obviously money going into the coffers for our club, but I think I really admire the fact that we're raising money for really good causes, and I don't really care about the criticism from rival fans. I think it's good that the club has an identity, and that's part of our identity, that we're not just about what goes on the pitch. A club is more than that. You can be a successful team, which isn't always the same as a successful club. And I think Bows are successful at what they do, at what we do. I want more important to me than winning is that this club, I know this club will be around in 10 years, 15 years' time, 20 years' time. And I think the way we're going about it at the moment, we're in good hands. So yeah, for me, it means something to me, because it's more than a club. It's kind of a community, and it's the people that you meet and the friendships that you develop at the games. It's unique, I think.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, all right. And I suppose I'll wrap up there. So don't forget, people, Friday morning on the Bandcamp, you'll catch Paul's new music out. You want to tune in? I might see, will he give me one of the songs to play in the podcast next week once it's out? And you can all have a listen to it at the end. And then, of course, don't forget live music in the bar after from yourselves. We expect a few people to sing, a few spot prizes. Everyone get in, get involved. Let's enjoy Daily Mount while we have it, albeit it might be here forever. Paul, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to be on with you today.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for having me on. Real
And
pleasure.
thank you very much. And as we do every week, come on the fucking balls.
Come on, boss.
Because we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We had the boys and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll